Thank God it is Friday. We've got football tonight and a loaded, well, not a loaded slate, but a decent slate starting tomorrow. Todd, Q, Nikki, what's up, fellas?
What's up, Matt?
A little Friday night football. Get the weekend started off early.
Yeah, you're on a game, I hear.
Yeah, a couple plays actually.
Just can't quit you, Northwestern Wildcats.
I'm on it right with them. We did it last week. Beautiful stadium.
It's like, hitting on the ugly girl at the bar. You just feel sorry because nobody else is. So
hey, that happens.
She's the last one there at 2:30.
Yeah, but they pay for your drinks though.
I'll give you a
if they repeat advice. Last week.
Tip top advice. If you ever want to appreciate an 8. Got to bang out 2 4s.
And by bang out, he obviously means take him out to dinner, meet the parents, stuff like that. All right. So let's get right into it. The Michigan sign is still sitting behind Toddy's head back there. So we'll dive into this one. This is the 11 a.m. for me, noon kickoff, the big noon kickoff. I'm guessing that's who got it. Number 3, Texas travels up to Ann Arbor to take on Michigan. What are we doing here, Todd? How are you feeling?
Well, by about 3:30 tomorrow, I'll give you that answer. Yeah, I'm on this game. You know, I know Nick jumped on it really quick. And I think, you know, what a fantastic line he got at it. But I just kept waiting and waiting and waiting to see how high – I missed it at 7.5, but I'm going to play it at 7. Now, John Ewing put out a good little nugget on social media this afternoon. Michigan's not very good when their home dogs are like 7 points or more. They're not covering. So I don't like that. It's going to change tomorrow. I'm not going to say they're going to win the game, but hopefully it's close. Again, bottom line is they got to make it ugly. They got to run the ball. The quarterback play was not good last week. Orgy, again, I think, you know, only threw, I think, one pass for a touchdown, I think, but it wasn't very good. They ran him a lot. The other guy, you know, we got to see what he can do. I wasn't very impressed. The defense is legit. If they can make it ugly, I think we have something here, but we'll find out.
Well, so, but as my dog barks, here's the problem though, is you can't really rely on anything that Jim Harbaugh did at Michigan to even like put weight into how they are at home against the spread, whatever. I'm sitting here trying to find a parallel to when the last time they started over with a new coach, new quarterback. Orgy didn't look great. I don't know how they're going to be able to throw, especially against Texas defense, which I know everybody talks about the offense and Quinn Ewers, but Texas defense is pretty good too. As you see, the defensive success rate ranked 18th in the country. For me, I liked the under. It's gotten too low now. I really don't want any part of it, but I kind of am leaning towards Texas may win this one in a blowout. It's probably not what you want to hear, Toddy. But
no, and you know, the one more thing before I let the other guys go, they got to get Edwards. He had a really bad game, 11 carries, 27 yards. You know, Mullins, the backup, played a lot better, you know, ran last year, 15 carries, 92 yards. So they got to get that going. We'll see. It's just what if the Michigan quarterbacks can make some plays, run the ball, establish the run, maybe take some play action, make some plays. I think the defense will keep us in the game. Hopefully they cover. Hopefully they pull the win off, but I'm not going to be too greedy here.
Nick, what are you doing?
Yeah, like Todd said, I was lucky. I got Texas at -2.5 on Hard Rock Saturday night. I put in our Discord. So anybody who is in our Discord is the kind of place to be as soon as we make bets. If we see something that we see an advantage in, or a line we think is going to move later in the week, we put it in there as soon as we bet it. So it's a great place. Hopefully people took that because, I mean, even I didn't think it was going to get up to 7.5. So getting it at 2.5 now makes me look like a genius. So I'll take it. But, yeah, I still think I like that play. I don't think I would touch Texas at 7 or 7.5. I don't know if that's there anymore. But, yeah, kind of just to say what Todd said, Davis Warren was the one doing most of their passing plays. Did not look very good. Didn't look very comfortable. Then they bring Alex Orgy in, and it was almost a guaranteed run play. So it just looked very awkward against a defense in Fresno State that is much worse than Texas's defense, who obviously, as we mentioned on Tuesday's show, cost me money by shutting out Colorado State, who honestly, Colorado State's quarterback is better than both Michigan quarterbacks. So I think Texas wins this game. I'm glad I got it at 2.5. I'm very excited though for the Will Johnson Isaiah Bond matchup. That's one to watch on the outside over there. So if the game's over, still that's a number one, probably first round draft pick on defense and on offense there you can watch.
Q.
I got nothing on this game. I think Texas ultimately wins the game. On one hand, I feel like it's going to be a blowout. On the other, I think it could be a 3-7 point game. So I'll be honest, I didn't put much stock into it this week. It was too difficult for me to try to handicap. So I looked elsewhere.
And I don't know how I missed Orgy only had two pass attempts the other day. I feel like he was in at quarterback a lot more than what he was.
I think Warren threw like 21. Yeah,
Warren threw in my 21. Notes. Yeah. I had 25 for Warren.
25.
Yeah. He was 15 out of 25. I have Orgy 1 for 2, 3 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Ken here. I think Michigan showed all their cards. They were in a scrappy little fight with Fresno State.
Yeah, they scored late. Michigan scored late in that to pull that, getting close. It was close. I think it was the spread.
Still didn't cover, but yeah.
Yeah, it was 21. I think it was 20. Yeah.
All right. We are going to Stillwater. I was just talking to them about how can't talk backstage. I don't feel good about this. The line has moved against me. Still waiting. Have not found out why. If a lot of money came in on Oklahoma State, I know that their stadium is a shoebox. You play 8 feet from the field to the fans, and it's going to be tough. Thanks, Sean. Go Hogs. I don't feel as good about it now just because of the unknown of what's going on. But I said it on Jeff's show. I said it on the preview with Kyle Kerms. Arkansas, this is a team where they're either going to win outright, which they probably have no business doing, or they're going to lose by 40. And I think you're going to figure it out pretty early on. I'm banking on the former. I think that they could win this game outright, assuming everyone is healthy. We need Landon Jackson, defensive end, to play. And we just had one wide receiver quit the team, but he was not getting enough reps. He only got 8 snaps against UAPB, so it's not really a loss. Andrew Armstrong was our leading receiver returning. He is back tomorrow. So I think Arkansas, if they can find a way to get it into a shootout, they'll be fine. Not really impressed with Alan Bowman, and Ollie Gordon had less than 4 yards of carry against South Dakota State. So I feel like if we can contain the run, make Bowman beat us, he won't be able to. So that's ultimately why I'm on the Hogs. Whoever.
Yeah, you better be honest. You have six plays offered.
Yeah. Yeah, all correlated. First quarter over 13.5. I just feel like the scripted drives are both going to be able to drive down the field. Team total, I think I got 26.5. I would be shocked if we don't score at least 4 touchdowns. And the first half plus 4.5 in the game. I took money line and the plus 7.5. I think that's it. Is that 5?
I'll go with my X factor for the Hogs. I think they have to get their tight end, Luke Haas, involved. I think you got to open the passing game with him. Not only just the passing game in general, but kind of make them respect their tight end position. He's a stud up until he got hurt, or at least he's got a lot of promise. It's going to open up those wide receivers. Oklahoma State, I think the X factor is the defense. If you can just play average defense in comparison to what you did last year, I think they're in this game. Matt mentioned, it's a tough place to play. They're literally, the fans are sitting on top of you. That's something that there's not many SEC stadiums that are like that. I would say two of the, or at least one of them is a swamp. You're only, it's like a 5-foot fence, but everywhere else is a pretty large stadium for that fact. So it's a little bit different environment. With that being said, not only is Oklahoma State's X factor their defense, if you're Mike Gundy, you just have to tell Alan Bowman, don't throw interceptions, just protect the ball, and we'll get out of here with a win. Because, even though Ollie Gordon had under 4 yards rushing last week, he still put up good numbers. Personally, I don't think anybody's going to stop him. Everybody knows he is that offense, and he still can't be stopped. All of last year, obviously, this past week they had, and frankly, I don't think Arkansas is going to stop him either. I don't think there's many defenses in the country that could truly stop him. So, at the end of the day, if you're Arkansas, make Alan Bowman throw the ball. If you're Oklahoma State, just not turn the ball over and play average defense. I think they can win.
Nick? Yeah, I took the over in this game. Basically, everything that you guys said, I do expect both offenses to kind of make this a shootout, and that's also because I don't trust either defense here in this matchup. So yeah, I think that the total there at 61.5, I think I could see Oklahoma State getting to 40 and Arkansas getting to 30. Like, that's not out of the realm of possibility for me, and that's 70, so that's way over the total. So that's kind of how I played it.
And Toddy.
Yeah, I would go, you know, I don't have anything on this, just in my notes. You know, it's tough. Arkansas played Pine Bluff last week. I mean, really good numbers running the ball. Defensively, you know, they can stop the run. I have a little note, question mark in the secondary. Keep an eye. Man, that guy's been around forever, hasn't he? Seems like
7 years.
7 years. Okay. I was going to say, like, he could be a doctor here very soon. Okay. So, you know, against a good South Dakota State team, they had a 29-game winning streak, and they took care of business, winning 44-20 last week. Bowman did throw three touchdowns. I kind of go with what everyone has said. I think this one's up and down. I think this one is over. I think both teams can score. I have the big question mark on the defenses here. So I think Gordon will get his numbers on the ground. He had a pretty good game, 4 catches, 42 yards, a touchdown last week. So I think you'll see him catch some balls too. So could be a big day for him, maybe in the fantasy leagues that we're in. And so if you have him, so I think it's up and down, high scoring game.
I agree with that. Sam Pittman's 10-3-1 to the over in games where he is an away underdog. He's 11-3 against the spread as an away dog. One thing, South Dakota State did really well of getting Oklahoma State off the field despite the score. They were 5-14 on third down efficiency. That is going to be, for me, the key to the game. Can we get Oklahoma State off the field? I mean, obviously, that goes without saying. You make them punt, you've got the ball in your hands, which is where you want it. But Mike Gundy's offenses are always good. I think it's going to be a lot of – you can look at the stat line at the end, and whatever team had the most punts probably lost. Ken corrected himself. He said, I meant didn't show all their cards. Well, that's where I'll disagree, because I think Michigan was kind of playing with their food a little bit, got a little scared, and had to – show a little bit more of their cards than they wanted to against Fresno State. But then he said, what are your thoughts on Syracuse +3 versus Georgia Tech?
Like it. I'm not on it, but that's one of my leans.
It's going to be a shootout, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw Chris Felica, the Bear. He was on Syracuse because he wanted Georgia Tech to prove it to him. Maybe Florida State's just really bad and we're giving them too much credit. Yep. I would stay away from it. Personally,
I do. That was a game I was looking at, but I did put that. I did one teaser last week, which was a big loser, but I'm going one more teaser this week. And that is my game. I have Syracuse up, and I also matched it with Army. I think Syracuse can win that game outright.
And Sean said an idea for next week. Can we do survivor picks? Yeah, but we need like stipulations.
Back to the Georgia. The Tech thing, like, what are we comparing Georgia Tech to? Because we're going from Paul Johnson's triple option era to, you know, they're trying to reform an entire offensive, you know, style roster. Like, I think they're making really good strides. They essentially steal away Texas A&M's, what we thought was going to be their defensive coordinator, the guy from Duke. I think this team is actually on the rise. I mean, the defense played well, you know. Listen, Georgia Tech and Florida State athletes, like, there's obviously a huge gap in talent on paper. You know, yes, is Florida State bad? Yeah, they are. But compared to Georgia Tech, like, they should beat the brakes off them. So I think it's a combination of Georgia Tech being better than what, you know, they have been in the last 20 years since Calvin Johnson was there. But also, you know, maybe Florida State being down. But then you look at the offense, like, they have a quarterback in Haynes King that we've seen him be able to do good things. Like, he's got that ability to be like, all right, like, this guy's got it. But then, you know, he has moments where he doesn't. So it's not like he's like a DJU where, in my opinion, he had one opportunity against Notre Dame to look good and then he shit the bed since. Haynes King showed us he can do it on multiple occasions. Great running back. They've got Singleton, I believe, the receiver. He's pretty solid. They have another receiver. Like, I think they're getting better. Same with Syracuse. Like, Syracuse has some decent teams from time to time. Obviously, they get Kyle McCord. Like, I think this is actually a good game. I think both teams are on the rise, given their respective rosters and playing in this game. Like, I think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be one of the better games of the week to watch.
There you go, Ken. That was a really good breakdown.
Yeah, real quick. I mean, it was both teams were teams I was eyeing up for the win total over. I like Georgia Tech win total over Syracuse too. Georgia Tech, though, one of the harder schedules if you look at their schedule, and I think it was ranked, so that I kind of stayed off it. But yeah, I was high on Syracuse. I think they're going to have a good year.
The website has Georgia Tech a -3.29 favorite.
It's right there, dead
on. Right there at it. All right, the one that I know everybody is really excited. Bring your lunch pails because we've got hard work going down in Iowa. The Cyclones take on the Hawkeyes in what will be probably a game not many people watch. You may just check the box score. But Iowa put up 40 points last week. Are we buying into the Hawkeyes to repeat their double-digit win season again and getting that elusive Iowa State victory?
Yeah.
Todd? Sorry. Todd looked like he was really excited.
No, you can go, but I'll jump in here. Yeah, you know, this is – Tim Lester came over as the offensive coordinator, and, you know, everybody was like, wow, they scored 40, stopped the presses, the offense was moving. But if you really – they scored, I think, 34 points in the second half. So it took them a little bit. McNamara, you know, pretty good game, 251, three touchdowns. Great defense. This team's always going to have a good defense. You know, I looked at the history. I was 47 over 23 in this. Now, last time they played here, Iowa State did get a win. I think it's a lower scoring game. I do like this Iowa State team, but, I mean, only 21-3 over North Dakota last week. Quarterback had pretty good numbers. Wide receiver had Noel had a big one, 8 for 135. I did play this one. I did go moneyline Iowa, and I put it in our little chat there. I got it earlier in the week.
I like Rocco Beck. I know people were high on him going into the season. I leaned to Iowa State, but I'm not. I don't want any part.
One more little note. 8-2 Iowa in the last 10 in the series.
Sounds about right.
I'm Nick? Buying the hype.
Oh, Q?
Yeah, I'm buying the hype. Sorry, Nick. I think, again, Matt Campbell in big games. This is a big game survivor. He shits a bet every time. Unless it's Oklahoma. That's about the only team that he kind of shows up for. Cade McNamara is the best quarterback we've seen in a long time in the Iowa program, in my opinion. You know, Ferentz was suspended last week. Your head coach isn't there. Like, now you get him back. You know, he's going to be obviously juiced, ready to go. Big rivalry game. It's at home. I know Parker obviously probably compares home field advantage into this formula, but that's a tough place to play. You know, that's one of the harder stadiums. Like, the weather's bleak all the time. The fan base is there. You got the Children's Hospital right there. Like, that's just a wild atmosphere to play in. They just grind you out. You know, and their offense, it seemed like the school kind of got fed up with those low-scoring games. So you bring in a guy who's supposed to revamp the offense. Yeah, 40 points. They haven't scored 40 points in a long time that I can remember. So I think until we see him revert back to that, which they could this week, but I think Iowa's the team to beat here. I kind of have it as a 21-17, 24-20 type game, which would be high scoring in this rivalry. But I do think their offense is going to start to score a tad bit more than we're used to.
Yeah, hear me out. So this, I might get dogged for this. Here's how I'm playing it. Iowa team total over 18.5 was a number that I really like. I know Smitty said they didn't score until the second half. I mean, those points still count last time I checked. So doesn't matter if they score them in the first half or second half. Yeah, they just seem more pace on offense. They had three touchdown receptions by wide receivers in week one after having two the entire season last year. So they're definitely spreading it out more, opening it up, using receivers and not just those big, big tight ends and fullbacks out of the backfield. So, yeah, I think this number, I don't know if this number is going to be available the rest of the year because I do think Iowa's going to kind of stick to this formula of let's have a little bit more offense. And I'm not saying they're going to score 35, 40 a game, but yeah, 18 and a half right now, that's just too low at home. I mean, I think even if they score 20, that's low. So yeah, this is very playable. 18 and a half, 19 and a half.
I'm jumping on it right now with you.
Love it, Q.
I might jump in on that too.
I mean, wasn't Cade McNamara? I know he's from Michigan, or transferred from Michigan. He was supposed to be like a really good quarterback, right? Like this was an upgrade for them over.
I thought he was good at Michigan.
I did too.
Personally, it was just,
I think JJ just kind of pushed him out because JJ was good and a little better.
I think the fan base because I've always said, I mean, he got him into the playoffs and they got destroyed against Georgia. But I always said he got you there. He was the quarterback. I think it was the same thing. It was kind of like the same thing with Clifford and Adler at Penn State when we went up there. Clifford was playing and people just wanted him gone. Like they wanted when Drew would come in the game, the place would go nuts because they wanted to change. I think it was the same thing with Michigan. I thought it was kind of disrespectful for a guy that was the quarterback that finally did get you to the playoffs.
Yep.
All right. Are we doing this community play?
I mean, I'm already on it.
Everybody going to get on Iowa team total over.
I'll tell you what, if JJ wasn't there, Cade McNamara would have been loved by Michigan fans.
Team total. Backup quarterback, most popular guy on the field. All right, Kansas, who's had their fair share of backup quarterbacks, unfortunately for Jalen Daniels, who can't stay healthy, but is this the year? Do they go in and beat the fighting Brett Bielema Illini? This is a weird line. Why is it only 4.5?
Yeah.
Like, Kansas should be at least a touchdown, in my opinion. This is a trap game for me.
Decent core. I mean, I say this on the Illinois comparison spectrum. Decent quarterback with Luke Altmyer. Like, he can at least throw a football competently. Jalen Daniels, I mean, again, as long as he's healthy, they have Neal. Decent receiver, like they're gonna be able to score points. The problem is, can Kansas stop Illinois? Even though I'm not high on Illinois, I'm even lower on Kansas's defense. So that'll be the telltale, and you'll see that in the first quarter if Illinois is moving the ball or not. That'll kind of give you an indication. But being on the road, only 5 points, like I thought it should have been kind of in that 10.5 range. I stayed away because I think they're begging you to take Kansas and something weird's gonna happen.
Yeah, I didn't touch the spread or the total. I do have a play on this game, though, just because I wanted to stay away from those numbers. I took Kansas money line with the Tennessee money line, was able to get -103. So that's kind of how I played it. Because I do think Kansas wins this game somehow. I think Daniels is the best player on the field on both sides of the ball for either team. So I expect him to kind of pull some things out of the hat if needed at the end of the game. So yeah, I just think Kansas wins this. But like I said, avoid the numbers because this one could be super weird up there in Champaign.
Yeah, stay away from me. You know, it's just tough when you look at the numbers of Lindenwood. That's who Kansas played. I mean, who are they? And then Eastern Illinois. You look at the stats and you try to look and go, I agree. I'm not high on Illinois. You would have to think Kansas is the better team and that would pull away and win this game. But like you said, it is a weird line. So it's a stay away from me.
All right, let's go to one. Hopefully we can urge a bet out of going to Charlotte as the Tennessee Volunteers take on the NC State Wolfpack. Grayson McCall and the Pack did not look particularly great, especially in the first half of their game last week. 0-1 against the spread now. Nico Iamaliava looked very impressive. And, I mean, all I've heard all week, I feel like, is – Nico Iamaliava is going to win the Heisman now. This is the best quarterback that Josh Heupel's ever had. And he may be right. This dude is a freak. But could they be overlooking NC State a little bit here? This is a big game, big stage for both. And I don't have the record in front of me, but I don't feel like Grayson McCall, while he does do well, he doesn't do great like when the stage is brightest. So, Nick, what are you doing here as a closet ball fan?
Yeah, Tennessee team total over 34.5. I was able to get that yesterday. I think it's 35.5 today, maybe still 34.5. Yeah, so if you look at these two opponents, we obviously saw bad Tennessee beat Chattanooga. NC State struggled with Western Carolina. So did a little digging. Western Carolina and Chattanooga are both going to be are both ranked in the top 20 in the FCS. They're actually only power rated 2.2 points difference. So that tells you basically these two teams played almost the exact same team in week one, and we saw the difference. I think Tennessee is just flat out the better team here, which, and I know I was one that did the write-up for our guide for NC State. I'm still high on them. I still think they reach their team total that I know that some a couple of us are on at 7.5. I just don't like this matchup. Grayson McCall kind of in his first big game as a big time like quarterback in ACC, neutral. I think Tennessee fans, it's probably going to be 60-40 Tennessee fans in Charlotte, I would guess, because Tennessee fans are just psycho like that. So, yeah, I think Tennessee just a better team. Kind of the and the tough part is Tennessee's biggest weakness is their secondary, but their biggest strength is their front seven. And NC State just couldn't block Western Carolina last week. And I think they're going to be put so much pressure on Grayson McCall that he's not going to have a ton of time to get the ball out to KC Conception, who they're going to have to get 15, 20 touches to. But I just don't see that happening for them to keep up.
Q.
I think NC State's going to lose, but I think it's going to be closer than people may think. Like, I don't think they're going to lose by 17 to 21 points. I kind of see it in that 10 to maybe 14 points late. The reason I say that is I think Nico is certainly a star quarterback in the making, but this is his first big, you know, quote unquote road test or neutral site test, whatever you want to deem it. You know,
NC you don't State's count Iowa?
Huh?
So you don't count Iowa in the bowl game? Put up 40.
Not really. Like off. Okay. Defensively. Yeah. They're one of the best consistently, but NC State has a little more firepower than Iowa traditionally. Like it's going to be a similar style defense, but a team that can score a little more. So this is kind of a tougher grade Iowa. I actually thought McCall looked semi decent when the stage is on him. You know, he didn't have many opportunities at Coastal. You know, Coastal takes that high-profile BYU game when BYU was somewhat decent, and he played decent. Like, I think he's kind of going to be in a spot where he's not going to put up 350 yards passing because, again, I think they're going to kind of try to, you know, Tennessee's going to try to lock Conception up, and that's obviously their main weapon, so it makes sense. But I think he's going to extend some drives with his legs because of that pressure Tennessee's going to create. He's going to have to move, and he's going to have to make them respect him. So I think it is going to open up maybe some running ability for Grayson, who we know is pretty solid at it. So I kind of have this at like a 38-24, like something like that. But I don't think it's going to be a blowout by any means, like some people are saying.
Todd?
Yeah, I like what Nick said. I like the team points. I think Tennessee's going to score. I think NC State will score too, but they struggled. I mean, they did. They were down. They had to really come back there. I think they scored 21 points in the fourth quarter to kind of take over that game. One stat, you know, I put down and heard it through some other people to keep an eye on the Nico with the running, because the quarterback from Western Carolina ran for 75 yards. So if you can get Nico out there too, maybe running a little bit, add some more, a little action to that. So, I mean, again, a lot of people I know in our little Discord, they like those player, you know, bets. Keep an eye on the rushing total there. Just coming off that, but it's a team that I think can just score a lot of points. And I think what Nick said too, they're just a better team. I really like the team point over. I think that's a great play. This one's kind of gone up now. What's it at now? What's the spread?
The spread's on 10.
10. Yeah. So we're really 9-10. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't lay that, but I'd play the team points. I think Tennessee puts on a show though.
All right, and another one I think could be a track meet. Boise State and Ashton Genty takes on Oregon, who kind of looked like they were asleep at the wheel last week, to say the least. They did not cover. Despite Dylan Gabriel's really impressive stat line of 380 yards, somehow attempted like 40-something passes. I don't understand, I guess, if you're just flinging it out to a screen, a wide receiver on a screen. But Oregon was one of my best bets to win the national championship, and they did not look like championship caliber team. Do they get right this week and shore up some stuff on defense and get that offense clicking a little bit. I mean, Evan Stewart, Tez Johnson, Jordan James, they've got the elite makings of an offense, but they didn't show it last week for whatever reason. Is this the week that they take the lid off of it? Todd?
Score, 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 Oregon. Let's go. Let's get that team points. That's a play I know a couple, I think, of us are on. Yeah, I think, I mean, that was just mind-blowing how Idaho was hanging with them. So, you know, Gabriel, you know, 41 out of 49, 382 touchdowns. Johnson had a big game, but I think this only scoring 24 points. I think this is, they're going to finally wake up. And Boise again gave up a ton of points against Georgia Southern, and that quarterback threw for over 300 yards. I think Oregon's going to score a lot. I think Boise will put some points on too. Over might be a play, but let's get that team points with the Ducks.
Q.
Yeah. First off, you brought up a good point. You brought up the name Evan Stewart. I said it on our preseason show. I think he's a little overrated. He had two seasons at Texas A&M where he was this, like, you'd have thought Randy Moss was coming back into college football, you know, type hype. You get where I'm going with that. But he hasn't lived up to, like, what people think he's supposed to be. He's the number one recruit out of high school. He's the number one transfer guy. Like, he's in on Texas A&M. Then he's out. Then he's back in, and now he's at Oregon. Like, this is Tez Johnson's team. Evan Stewart, like I said in the preseason show, he's overrated, so I think you're going to get less production than people realize from him. He's kind of second fiddle, but I think Dylan Gabriel, and I said it on East Coast Sports Show, I think his numbers, the yardage was there against Idaho. The touchdowns weren't. I think they correct that. I think that was kind of a wake-up call. I think Dan Lanning's a good enough coach to say, listen, we got the win, but that was unacceptable. We're not going to play like this. And then again, Boise State gave up 45 to Georgia Southern, who, you know, is a similar team in Georgia Tech. They just got rid of the triple option to a passing offense. So that's pretty bad when you give up 45 to a new offense. But I also like your play, Matt, with the over. I think Boise State's going to be able to score in Oregon. It seems like when Oregon played a tough team last year, they were, you know, they had the tendency to give up some points. And I think Boise – great quarterback, probably the best group of five team as of right now heading into week two. So I think the over is definitely in play, as well as the team total. I really like it at 39.5 for Oregon.
So I just want to say something with the wide receiver. He's on my one fantasy team. I actually had to look. I'm like, is this guy even playing? Did he get hurt? Did they yank him? Like, why is he not doing anything? Like, and then I scored a 200 and something points in the one, and I lost because the guy I played had the running back from Boise State.
He was too far out on the line. Dylan Gabriel couldn't throw it past the slot receiver. Ashton Genty had averaged 11.8 yards per rush. Oregon allowed 5.3 against Idaho. And I went back and watched some of his tape. And this dude, it's not just up front. Like, he can create in the open field too. So if Oregon doesn't wrap up, he's going to get his, much like Ollie Gordon probably will too. Mm-hmm. Nick, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I got the team total as well. I know all three of us are on that. For me, it does kind of take out that Ashton Genty kind of chance of, does he actually get shut down because he is Boise State's offense? And maybe Oregon, as we all mentioned, should have a pretty good defense this year. If they load the box and take away him, is Boise really going to be able to get to that kind of 24-point mark where you need them to hit the over? So for me, I'm taking that factor out and just going to go with the Oregon team total. You guys mentioned kind of they struggled last week. They had Lanning's master motivator. I'm sure that pissed him off, only winning by 10. So I think they show up. This is a much bigger game for them just because at Boise State, obviously more of a national type team. We mentioned maybe the best team outside the group of four. So I think he gets them ready to play, and I don't think he takes his foot off the gas either, just because I think they were a little bit embarrassed of how last week went.
And I think that Idaho team plays Wyoming. I don't know what the spread. I haven't looked at that, but that Wyoming team did not look good.
No. Evan Sabota, everybody was talking, comparing him to Josh Allen. I bought into it. It's absolutely terrible. I think it's just because they both wear 17 at Wyoming. All right, pick'em contest standings. Not a whole lot here. 2-2-2. We will update this as we move along. But Q, dive into your best bets for the card this weekend.
Yeah, we just touched on the over 39.5 for Oregon, so I don't need to rehash that. Again, I think the next play, the Duke-Northwestern money line is just going to be a dog fight. It's a weird stadium to play in. It's a night game. Duke doesn't have Mike Elko or Riley Leonard or their defensive coordinator. I know it's Manny Diaz, who's one of the best defensive coordinators college has seen for many years. He hasn't quite figured it out as a head coach, in my opinion. There was a lot of expectations in Miami that he failed to live up to. Northwestern has a decent defense. They're not in Iowa by any means, but they're good enough to, I think, win this game on an ugly Friday night, kind of in that like 17-13 range again. I really like them at home. And then Utah, again, you get Kythe back, monster when he's healthy, Cam Rising, like 13th year senior. You know, they kind of were on cruise control and scored at will last week. Another stout defense that Dave Aranda is going to have to try to figure out, who Dave Aranda is kind of on the hot seat for himself down there in Waco. And as long as Kythe and Cam Rising stay healthy in this game, I think they at least win by 14 points.
All right. I'm going to hop into mine. The segue of Baylor, Blake Shapen, Mississippi State +5. I really like what Jeff Lebby's team looked like the other day. I'm not completely sold on Arizona State. This is a weird line at being 5. I don't really give Arizona State just a huge benefit on being at home. It is weird that it's a Big 12 versus SEC showdown out in Arizona. Make it make sense. Shapen looked sharp, 15 of 22, 47, 3 touchdowns +1 rushing. I feel like we're just talking about two different comparisons in playing styles and just the athletes on the field. And not to talk bad about Arizona State, because they produced Jaden Daniels, who went on to transfer and win the Heisman at LSU. But I've just got to believe that Mississippi State's got the better athletes on this. So I'm going with them. Also on the over, and then my best bet, which is very hesitant now, Arkansas +10. Just need the Hogs to cover, but I think they could win outright. Nick, roll with yours.
Yeah, we already discussed the Tennessee team total over as my best bet. The next one, South Alabama versus Ohio, took the over 56.5 here. This game should be – this total should be in the mid-60s, if not upper 60s. I mean, South Alabama versus North Texas had 90 points involved and 1,100 total yards. Ohio and Syracuse combined for 60 and 900 total yards. South Alabama's defense was good last year. Don't let that fool you. Their head coach went to be the DC at Alabama now, took a huge pay upgrade. So even though his title went down, his money definitely didn't. So he left. Their defense looked atrocious against North Texas last week. They have nobody that can create pressure. They can drop back 45 times and got one sack and one quarterback pressure. That's hard to do. Like, sometimes defensive linemen accidentally stumble into a quarterback and get pressure. So only getting two of those is tough. And then Ohio gave up 354 and 4 to Kyle McCord and Syracuse last week. So South Alabama's offense is always good. This game should be very high, because this also South Alabama ran the second most plays in the country last week, and Ohio ran the 21st most plays in the country last week. So they both play up-tempo fast. So no matter, even if there's a blowout one way or the other, the points are going to happen. Colorado, Nebraska, over. This one kind of speaks for itself. I think this number is a little bit low as well. With the two quarterbacks involved, Dylan Raiola and Shedeur Sanders, this has a potential to kind of fly over this one way or another. I don't like a side either way. I think this is being Dylan Raiola's first ever, like, big game. I know he's at home, but it's still going to be a loud crowd playing in front of 90,000. And Shedeur Sanders can handle that. We've seen that in the past. So I don't see how anybody really gets shaken up too badly. Don't trust either defense here, but I trust quarterbacks. And I could see something like Shedeur Sanders even bringing him back, because Deion wants that cover. And so even if he does it late, they're going to find a way to score in the fourth quarter. So I could see that being how we get over the total here.
Yeah, that was one of my other bets that I struggled. I was going to put it on here, but then you had it, so I just stayed off. But I am on Colorado +7.5. Deion Sanders 6-2 against the spread as a dog. Love it. love the spot. Travis Hunter is going to show out again, probably get a pick or two against Dylan Raiola, as much as everybody likes to compare him to Patrick Mahomes, who also threw a pick last night. Smitty.
Yeah, let's get some
points back.
Yeah, that great comment about the dog play with Sanders there. I'm on the team points in Nebraska. I think they're going to score, but I love that over. I think that's a great play. Yeah, you know, we talked about Michigan. I think this one's going to be – they got to make it ugly, and hopefully they make it ugly and it's close, and hopefully we can pull it out, but I'm going to take the plus +7. I'm with Q. I jumped on this game really early. And I got a real higher number on it where it is now. So hopefully it's not going in the wrong direction, but I still think Northwestern's a better team than Duke. I liked what I saw last week. I think they'll win a low scoring game, but I like them. So I jumped on with Q on that one. And then I love Oregon. I just think the bad performance last week, I think they're going to be motivated. Boise State gave up a ton of points. I think Oregon's going to score. I think they're somewhere high 40s, I think. So let's get that.
All right. That closes us out. You guys have any other games y'all want to talk about? There are no more comments. Sean said, go Hogs.
No, all my plays are posted in the Discord. If you're not following the Discord, sign up. Again, we started with, you know, no members. Now we're up to 150. It's a place to be. It's free this year. There's no point in not taking free winning bets. So sign up. The link's always posted between NCAA Insiders or one of our personal Twitters. It's easy to find. Takes 2 seconds to sign up.
Sign up there, or you can watch Q do walking bets. Matt blocked me from Discord. No, I didn't. Sean, get out of here. I'd like barely get on it anyways. I'm too old for that.
Sean, I was actually banned. I created a profile. I never had it before, and I got immediately banned. So I was flagged for, I don't know, whatever reason.
Yeah, we've discussed most of mine. I will add a couple leans I have. I don't know why I haven't pulled the trigger yet. I'm Alabama minus 30.5 over South Florida. That one, I think probably by tomorrow, I'll probably end up on that tomorrow morning. I just think revenge spot. This one's actually at Alabama compared to last week when they were down in South Florida, or last year. And they kind of got embarrassed by barely winning. Like, that was one of the worst games they played all year. I think they remember that and kind of take it out on South Florida.
Nick, can I ask you a question on that one?
Yeah, let's go.
So, like, I see where your head's at, and I don't disagree, but can that be considered a revenge spot without Saban being there?
Yeah, because it's still quarterback still there. And he played, remember, this is what, he got benched during, yeah, remember, he got benched during that game. Yeah. So I think this is where, yeah, I think he's going to remember that. And I think they go, I mean, yeah, they didn't struggle in week one. I don't think they struggle in week two. I think they want to put it on him. South Carolina, Kentucky under. I should have taken it 45.5. I believe now it's still at 43. Don't trust either offense. Both defenses should be okay. Slow pace. And then the last one, same exact reasoning. App State and Clemson under 53.5. Don't trust a Clemson offense. I do trust the App State running game, but Clemson's defense is good. I think they try to play slow. And I think Clemson just wants to get out of here with a win. So I could see that being low scoring.
Yeah, most of mine, like I said, I have Nebraska team points I put in the Discord earlier in the week, over 31.5. Also, I played Ole Miss over team points over 51.5. I just think, I mean, what did they score last week? Like 100? I don't know. I mean, I think they'll do it again. I think he'll just push for that quarterback to be in the Heisman talk. So Kiffin has no problem just throwing a late touchdown on people. So I think they score a lot again. And I'm going to say this, I jumped on this, and it's nothing against Notre Dame. I don't want Nick hating me or anything like this.
I'd be on the same side you're on. It's okay. Going to be sleepy. Yeah.
Little sleepy game. Notre Dame's going to win. I know my guy I work with, a big Notre Dame fan, he goes, hey, my son, we listen to the show. We love the show. But, man, did we laugh at you picking Texas A&M and everybody else is on Notre Dame. So, sorry, Notre Dame people, but I am going to take Northern Illinois plus 28. A lot of other people I respect, I saw they're on it. I think it's a sleepy spot, like Nick just said. So, let's Notre Dame win the game, but just don't embarrass them.
Yeah, and they'll keep Riley Leonard healthy, like we've mentioned. They will literally tell him, do not leave the box. Get rid of the ball, throw it away if you have to. Just get, like, we've said for the next 6 or 7 weeks, they can, all they need to do is just escape with wins. So yeah, I don't think they have any interest in blowing anybody out. My only scary thing there would be, can they score against the Notre Dame defense? And that's going to be like, if they can get to 10 points, I think you're safe. But I mean, let's see. A&M only got to 14.
10 might be tough.
Sleep on Northern Illinois. Don't sleep on them. They had, what was it? Lynch was their quarterback?
Yeah, about back in 1998.
Yeah, hey, they were a good program. Maybe this is the year. Bad week one, bounce back.
I wanted, you know, I wanted Q, and he was talking about Iowa great quarterbacks. I wanted him to drop the Chuck Long name out of the blue there. I like it. Let's go. Get these names coming out.
They had a really good running back way back in the day, too. The Huskies. I think it was little dude, number one. I can't remember his name. Good times, good times. All right. Well, that wraps up the show. Thank you all for tuning in. Cash some tickets this weekend. Make sure you go check out collegefootballinsiders.com. Nick and Parker are grinding that out, doing an amazing job. As we collect more data, the numbers will get sharper. Until then, we'll see you next week for the recap show. Have a good weekend. We'll be right back.